encouraged. And it starts with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that results in boldness. It results in amazing things happening. 3,000 people saved in one day. I mean, that's pretty huge. And we see all the way from the beginning part of the book of Acts, of Acts chapter 2, we see that God had a plan. His plan was that the church would bring forth his revelation and his power. And all throughout history, the church has been a radical force. It has never been the norm. And it has certainly never been the ones just to hide in the shadows. The church has been out front doing things. Now, there have been times when the church has been seeming like the light went out in the church. There were times when it seemed dark. But God has always had a people. God has always had a people. He's always had a people that flowed with the Holy Spirit. We can look through history. One of my professors in college, Dr. Paul Chappell, he's currently a theologian in residence at Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And he is an expert on the Holy Spirit's working throughout the church age. And during the time that I was a student at Oral Roberts University, he actually gave some of his lectures during what we called Holy Spirit Week, where we talked about all of these different things. We talked about it. And one of the things he said was, there has not, and this kind of burned in me as a young freshman. I was literally just turning 18 in the middle of my freshman year. And he said, there has never been a century that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians, that they have ever ceased.
Come on.
There has never been a century where they died out. They have been recorded time and time again. And sometimes we think, well, that's just modern Pentecostal charismatics. They're the crazy ones. Well, actually, if you look back, the Methodists were the first Pentecostals. The Quakers, I've been recently reading an old Quaker book. You know why they called them Quakers? Because sometimes they would literally quake in the presence of God. They would shake. They called them shakers and Quakers. They did. They would sit around in a room. Now listen, this is old school church. They'd sit around in a room. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a structure like we do. But they would wait for the Holy Spirit to move. And if the Holy Spirit didn't move, they would just read the scripture. They would just read the scripture out loud. But if somebody had a word or had something that kind of bubbled up on the inside, they spontaneously just gave it. And when we think about the fact that God's Holy Spirit has been alive in the church, glory to God, then don't get discouraged. When you look at the news and you see all the doom and gloom, the Word of God tells us, listen, when you see all these things happening, look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
No.
And the echo that Jesus is coming again soon. I heard Reverend Cliff say it. He and I talked about it. We're hearing that more and more and more from all different denominations and pockets. They're starting to preach about it again. It's like, uh-oh, what's happening? God's talking to his servants. He's talking to his pastors and his prophets. He's talking to his ministers. And he's saying, hey, look up. Look up. Get ready. Tell the people to get ready. Tell the people to get ready. Well, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You know part of this story if you've been around this church for very long. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Hallelujah. They were in one accord in one place. And then it says this, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them dividing tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. That doesn't just mean the 12. There were 120 people in that upper room. That doesn't mean just the 12 folks. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. It was a sign to the unbeliever. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it then we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Parthians, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. They accused him of being drunk. Now, if they were just standing up very eloquently and quietly speaking in a language, parlez-vous français? Buenos dias.
No.
If they were just hearing that, why would they accuse them of being drunk? This was some kind of sign. This was the Holy Spirit being poured out on them. This was a noisy, very, very loud, exuberant expression of God. And it said this, but then what happened was, Peter stood up, right? Standing up with the 11. That means they all stood up. Did you see that? They all stood up. Now, since they stood up, that might have been that they were on the ground somehow. They stood up. I don't know. Just saying. And they said to them, men of Galilee and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. Since it's only the third hour of the day, we didn't even drink. And he says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They shall prophesy and will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And he goes on with an entire sermon, Peter's sermon. And it says that in verse 10, that with those other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And then fear, verse 43, came upon every soul, and many wonders, say many wonders, and signs were done through the apostles. Hallelujah. So I want you to focus in on verse 42 and 43 this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about old school church. Some things never go out of style. Some things never go out of style. It's important to note that what Luke is writing here. Now, Luke wrote Luke, the book of Luke, he also wrote the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know this because of the beginning part of this book. And we also know this from the writing style. Most likely, Luke was probably one of the most educated of the early church. Luke was a doctor. He was polyglot. And what does that mean? That means he spoke multiple languages. We're pretty sure he spoke Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew, and he understood those three very well. He probably knew some other languages as well. Luke was very learned. So when he gives the account of the early church in the book of Acts, he gives this account very detailed. But he also emphasizes certain things under the direction of the Holy Spirit that we need to know. Say, some things never go out of style. Amen. So in verse 42, he said this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Now, what's interesting, and the reason why I bring that up about Luke, we're pretty sure, most scholars are pretty sure, that Luke probably originally penned this in the Aramaic language. Because the Aramaic language was actually a little closer to the Hebrew language. Luke was very versed in the Hebraic style of writing. But he writes this, and the Greek style of writing would have been to not necessarily use some of the words that he did, but he chose other words that were more Hebrew in nature. They had more of a Hebrew structure, more of a Hebrew connotation. And why is that important? Well, the first thing is they devoted themselves. Look at what that says. "And they continued steadfastly." One translation says, "devoted themselves in the apostles' doctrine." Well, now, sometimes people just like to run away from the word doctrine. Doctrine means teaching, teachings of the early church. Now, it's interesting because what happens often is we don't like that word doctrine because it just sounds stuffy. It sounds like, oh, that's just their opinion. Well, that's just their opinion. And people kind of get all hung up on the word doctrine. It was the early church teaching on what? What did the apostles teach? How did they teach the early church to conduct themselves? Well, if you want to know that, you can read all of the epistles, which is most of the New Testament. So beyond the Gospels, you have the epistles, which teach you how to live out this gospel. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they actually devoted themselves. Now, to the apostles' doctrine. Well, that word devoted, I looked it up, and I really wanted to know what did that mean. So if they were devoting themselves, if they were devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles, why was that important? That was important because the early church had certain instructions that were provided. The early church gathered together. First of all, the church, the word church, in some languages you call it kirk. In European languages, it's kirk. In Spanish languages, you might, Latin-based languages, you would say ecclesia. That means the called out ones. The called out ones. You, at being a part of the church, now in this series on old school, we began with old school beliefs, which was the Apostles' Creed. We talked about why that's important. You, as the church, you make up the church. A church is not a building. Contrary to what society thinks, what culture might think, you know, just because a church has a building does not mean that's the church. That's a building. That's an edifice. Yeah. And thank God we're believing God that something's coming for us. A facility, right? An appropriate facility for our church. But when we're looking at this, we are the church. Why? Because we are the ones who were called out. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians that we have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. In other words, we were called out of darkness. That testimony that Pastor Joe just shared about that man, you know, that might have been the most unorthodox way to get somebody to know Christ. But let's go back to Acts chapter 2 that we just read. And what's the most unorthodox way to get 3,000 people born again is they heard people speaking the wondrous works of God in their own language and they thought people were drunk. That's a little unusual, don't you think? God has always used unusual things, unusual people to get his message across. And what we see in this particular case is we see that the church, the called out ones, that's you and me, we've been called out of the world. That means that as Christians, we've been called out of the way the world does things. We have been called out of that cultural way of thinking. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we are to renew our minds, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are to renew the way we think. We don't think as the world thinks. We don't let them program us. But if we will continue in the apostles' teaching, if we'll continue in what God has said and be like, just like glue on it. No, this is what God's word said. If we'll be like that, I believe we'll have the same result that the early church did. Do I get an amen? All right. I think we're going to have the same result. Now, I had a chance over the last several years to study a book called, it's an ancient book, it's not scripture. Don't get worried, I'm not getting another revelation from anybody else, okay? But it is a documenting thing when it comes to historical early church. It's called the Didache. Didache is a word that just means the teaching. And we find out in the Didache goes back to about the 2nd century. It is an ancient document. A full copy of it was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls that was accurate, according to some of the later copies that we had, that basically just talked about everyday church life. Taking offerings, having baptism, you know, taking communion, celebrate, praying for one another. What were they discussing? They were discussing old school church. How to do it. To be the called out ones. In Hebrew mindset, to be gathered together was important. It was vital. It was vital. Because most of their existence, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, have been persecuted. They've been scattered. What is the cohesive thing that keeps them together? They're gathering. They have always kept that as a super high priority. Nothing gets in the way. In fact, those of you that like the movie, can't think of it right this second, Fiddler on the Roof. Who's ever seen that old school movie, right? Fiddler on the Roof. One of the rabbis in that movie, in that play, that movie, he actually makes a statement about somebody not coming to a meeting, coming to a synagogue, or coming to a ceremonial meeting. And he says, it's no time to gather rosebuds. Why? Why did he say that? He said that because the priority was gathering together. So not only do we see the early church gathered together and kept the apostles' teaching as forefront, they kept what did the early church teach? How do we live this Christian life out? How do we learn to pray? I told the young people today, I said, you know, some of the best ways to learn how to pray during our pre-service prayer is you pray with other people. That's how you learn how to pray. And if you're an adult here and you're not confident in your prayer life, the way you learn how to pray is you pray with other people. The way you get over that embarrassment that, oh, I might say something awkward. I might stumble my words. God's looking at your heart anyway.
That's right. Amen.
So don't be concerned about what words you're saying. Amen. Right? And you don't have to put on a King James voice. You really don't. In fact, I think he prefers not. Because we don't speak the King James English. All right? Now, if we lived 400 years ago, yes, thy Father in heaven, we might do that. But not now. We don't have to do that now. You know, thy gracious God. We don't have to do that now. Why? We can go before our Heavenly Father and speak to Him as you and I speak. Because prayer, as I said in this series, is a conversation. God wants to talk to you. He wants to impart things to you. And it's important that we do that. So the first thing they did was they gathered together and they made it a priority to keep with the apostles' teaching. Why? Because they walked with Him. They knew Him. They walked with Him. They knew what He said. They recorded what He said. What Jesus said. They recorded it. They were with Him, Avril. They were with Him. And when they had a question, Jesus basically, modern day vernacular, pull up a rock, let's talk about this. You know, when they didn't have folding chairs back then. Right? So pull up a rock. Let's talk about that. Who do you say that I am? Jesus is always asking questions to us. And when you develop that intimacy with God, I guarantee you God's going to ask you questions. You say, why do you? I know that from my own relationship with Him. He'll say to me, didn't I tell you that? Yes, sir. You did. We can be led by the Spirit of God. We can listen. I am so thankful for the heritage of God's people who stayed with the disciples' teaching. Now, the forms of church, the styles of worship have changed dramatically. Dramatically. We're in here, old school church today. I'm dressed in a three-piece suit. Some of you have hats on. You've got gloves on, right? And, you know, you're feeling good, but, you know, early church, they might have come in with a robe. Right? They might have come in with a robe. In fact, they probably would have. Middle Eastern culture, they would have walked in with a robe. I actually thought to myself, somebody in this church is probably going to walk in with a robe on. You know, somebody's going to say, oh, no, I'm really going old school now. You know? And it's like, you know, one of these things change in the way we do things. Music changes. Today we sang a bunch of songs. Most of them were from the 1980s and 90s revival. They come from the charismatic renewal. That was a time, and if you're not familiar with it, some of you young people don't know. I'm talking Holy Spirit was getting a hold of Catholic churches, Episcopal churches, Lutheran churches, Baptist churches. The Holy Spirit was coming on priests and pastors and lay people, and they were going away on three-day weekends, tres dias, and all of these things. I forget what they call it up here. What are they? You make a crecia, and people were, I mean, I'm talking full gospel businessman association. Sister Valley's husband was heavily involved in that during that time, and I mean, we're talking businessmen. I mean, businessmen, CEOs, business owners were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, laying hands on the sick, seeing the sick recover. I mean, yes, were there excesses? Were there things that were wrong in that time frame? Absolutely. But you know what I've learned in 40 plus years of being a Christian? You know, there's always going to be faith, no matter what. There's always going to be the inauthentic. But if you'll look, there is always the authentic. Because the Holy Spirit, He's not going to be outdone by any of Pharaoh's magicians.
That's right.
He's not going to be outdone by any of Pharaoh's magicians or sleight of hand or anything else. The Holy Spirit is not going to be outdone. He's going to perform miracles. He's going to see blind eyes open. He's going to see that happen. And, you know, I grew up in a church that didn't really embrace that. They were good people. They taught me how to be born again, but they got really nervous around the Holy Spirit. And they did. They did. And I have no dispersion to say on them. They're my brothers and sisters. But they, you know, and I thank God I got born again because they showed me the Romans Road. Remember that? I talked took you through the Romans Road. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We're talking about old school church, right? So old school church is that way. And you might put a label Methodist on the outside. You might put a label Catholic. You might put a label Lutheran. You might put... Listen, Jesus isn't looking at those labels. He's looking at the heart. He wants to know, what did you do with my son? Do you know him? Are you a part of the ecclesia? Are you a part of the called out ones? I've been called out. Just say that out loud. Say, I've been called out. Say, I've been called out of darkness into light. Glory to God. Let me tell you, God is, he's doing some great things. And notice what happens. So God provided, he provides for us instruction. He provides for us instruction through the apostles' teaching. We actually have a way to live this life. We have guidelines how to live this life. If you don't believe me, go over to the book of Ephesians. Let's just real quick go in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians tells us how we should actually treat one another. Tells us how we should operate our lives. How we should in the book of Ephesians, we see that God, in his infinite wisdom, tells us that we should actually treat one another in a certain way. In fact, if we'll go over there to Ephesians 5. It says there, therefore, be imitators of God as children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us, giving himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Number 3, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. God tells us how we are to live our lives. There is actually instruction in living our lives. And so God tells us here in Acts chapter 2, go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and the verse that we started with, verse, I believe, was 42, right? Right, verse 42. Some things never go out of style, but they continued. They were steadfast. They were steadfast in what? The apostles' doctrine. In other words, how to live the gospel. How to live the gospel. Why is that important? It's important for us to do the same. Steadfast into the gospel. Actually see how to live this good news out. And the second thing that is provided, not only did God provide instruction through his holy written word, but he provides opportunities to pray and to learn to pray. And he provides that through community. He provides that through community. Now notice it says there, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And fellowship. Now that word fellowship in the Greek language, it's koinonia. Koinonia. Now, interestingly enough, it is also in the Aramaic language, it's kartero. And it actually means to be diligent, listen to this, diligent in place. Attend assiduously all the exercises to adhere closely as a servitor, attend, give continually in, wait on, and actually, that's what it's talking about. That's the connection. It's the human connection. So that when we are together in that language, they're really talking about a place of healing. They're talking about a place of help. They're talking about connecting. Now we understand why in the Fiddler on the Roof, the rabbi says there's no time for rosebuds? Because it was a high priority to continue in fellowship. Now, we in the United States, we do fellowships. That means we just have a potluck and eat with each other. In the Greek language and in the Aramaic language, both, the word fellowship is far deeper than let's just have a cracker together. It is sharing our lives together. It is when one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one is sick, we pray. When one needs help, we offer a hand. That's a place of healing. That's koinonia. We have cheapened the word fellowship. Because we'll say, but in fact, do you hear the world ever use the word fellowship? They might. They might say, well, I'm a fellowship of special eggheads somewhere, right? We have multiple PhDs, and it's a fellowship of only the elite, right? You might hear it used in that context, but very rarely do you hear just the average guy go, hey, Joe, let's go over to the sports bar, have a burger, and have some fellowship. You just don't hear that, right? Because the word fellowship actually does mean to share life heart to heart, to intertwine your life to the point that you're not just some anonymous person walking through the door, but I know you, I know your struggles. And as a pastor, I want to be able to help you through those. I want to encourage you through those. You have a question about something. You have an understanding about something. Where do I go in the scriptures about something? Will you pray with me about something? This is my heart. To be able to help people through so that they grow up in the things of God, they mature as saints, and they pass that along to somebody else. It's the koinonia, heart to heart. You know, years ago, there used to be a commercial, and it talked about cotton. Do you remember that? The touch, the feel of cotton, the fabric of our lives. You guys remember that?
Yes.
And it was the Cotton Growers Association. And they were like, so the fabric of our lives needs to be shared with each other. Because we're from one cloth. It's not black, it's not white, it's not Hispanic, it's not whatever nation you came from or your nationality. Why? Because in the end, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe and race will stand before the throne. And that is what God looks at. That's what God looks at. And so when we're out here and we come together, we need that place. In Acts chapter 4, it says that when the disciples had been persecuted, they go back to their own company. Why? Because that was a place of healing. That was a place of gathering. The Hebrew people even gathered in secret. If you've ever read the Diary of Anne Frank or watched the movie, they met in secret. The word synagogue means to go and see the word together. To go and see together. Seeing together. Synagogue. Let's see. Why? Because they elevated and believed that the Torah was God speaking to them. This word, God's word, is speaking to us. And when we come together, we come to see together. We come to experience God together. This is old school church. This is stuff that doesn't go out of style. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the saying goes. I don't know where the saying came from. It's a stupid saying. So let's not do that. Let's not throw out the good things just because of style issues. You know, just because there are certain kinds of music I don't like. But that doesn't stop me from allowing my brother or sister to enjoy them. You hear me?
That's right.
You know, it's like, I mean, I do like some of those old hymns. I do like, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Man, there's something about that. There's good doctrine in there. There's good things in there. So we don't just throw it out. There's nothing wrong with I exalt thee. For me, that takes me back. I close my eyes and I'm 15 again. And I'm in the presence of God. And I'm experiencing his love.
I'm experiencing His grace, His goodness. So God provides instruction through the apostles' teaching. God provides those things. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. You guys are looking at me funny. All right, you want chili. I know. You just want to have a cracker, right? Come on. I want you to know, God provides instruction. He provides opportunities to pray. He provided more than a meal. It was heart-to-heart connection. And they were devoted to it. They were devoted to it. Nothing got in the way. Nothing got in the way. When I was a kid, nothing was open on Sunday morning. Except for maybe 7-Eleven. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. That was one of the little jingles. Why? Because they were open on Sundays. Now the only thing that's closed on Sunday is Chick-fil-A. My little league wasn't even allowed to practice on the city field until after 1 o'clock on Sunday. Because they were giving people a chance to go and to be at church. Did you know before the pandemic, they said that about 51% of Americans went to service on a fairly regular basis? Now, that was 3 years ago. Fairly regular basis. That means about once every 4 weeks. Fairly regular. 51%. That number, since the pandemic, has now gone down to about 43%. It's gone down 7 points. 7 points in 3 years. And I believe that it was an attack on the church. This pandemic was an attack on the church. Every church that I know has struggled with attendance. Many people have never come back. Right? Church is closed. Some demographics were actually affected more than others. Like, actually, historically, Afro-American churches have a worse situation when it comes to attendance. Why? Why is that big deal? Because I'm talking about old school church. The value of coming together, the value of I am going to gather together with my brothers and sisters because I need it. It's a place of healing. It's a place of instruction. It's a place of provision. Because not only did you get a meal, but you got prayed for. It's a place of connection. You got healed. When you come to church, you can get healed. I've been healed before. I've come to church. I've been preaching before with 102 fever before the pandemic. Okay, I didn't do that to you. But before, I remember one day over in Darien, Connecticut, I'm preaching. I got 102 fever. I was about ready to collapse. But I was preaching. And my wife was on the front row praying in other tongues. So to shook up on the bus. Right? When I was done, they took me back in the back usher's room and I collapsed. I basically just kind of fell onto a couch they had back there. There were three services, and I was preaching all three of them. And by the time it was done, I got home. I stayed in bed for 2 days after that and believed God for healing. But they prayed for me. And thank God they prayed for me. Amen? Amen. All right. They devoted themselves. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that old school church, then things never go out of style because these things result in something verse 43 tells us. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. It makes power available when you come to church. I'm going to say that again, because this is how I'm going to close it. It makes power available when you come to church.
Amen.
Come on.
It makes power available when you come to church. You say, oh, they're not going to miss me.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because there is value in gathering together. Where one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. The presence of God comes when God's people come hungry, come ready,
come hungry, come ready. I was part of that charismatic renewal when they would line up for hours to get into a building that had special meetings, that had evangelists come. You know, for those of you that Cliff Graham was he's a lot. Okay, he's a lot because he's loud and he's an evangelist. Evangelists do that, right? But let me tell you something. We need all the different aspects of the body of Christ. There can be a quiet teacher that just teaches line upon line. Turn in your Bible. That's what the Greek says, right? And then we need the people that just are recklessly abandoned for God. We need all the parts of the body of Christ to do what God wants us to do in this last day. Amen? Praise God. All right. So power is available.
That's
right. So what are you saying, Pastor? Well, you're all here, so I'm not telling you. Because you're here, right? But I'm going to tell you, every time you miss, we miss you.
That's right. That's it.
We miss you. And it's not just because of you that we miss you, but maybe you have something to touch somebody else with.
That's it.
Maybe you have a word. Maybe you just have a smile. Somebody needs a smile. Somebody needs, hey, can I pray for you? When you walk in and you're just wearing the world on your face, but you come in this place, the presence of God. When I walked into this place, I sensed His presence.
Come on.
Let me tell you. Church that I was on staff at for almost 10 years down in Florida, people would come back there weeping. Before church even started. They'd come in, they'd sit down and start to weep. That's happened here. That's happened. I believe it is happening. And it's going to keep happening. And we're going to see God's power manifest in our midst. Because let me tell you, the world doesn't need more teaching and more information. And just...
Come on. You got it.
We need not only the word, but we need the power. Because if you just study the word, it's been said, I didn't coin this, if you just stay in the word, you will dry up. If you just do all the Holy Ghost stuff, you'll blow up. You need both to grow up. You need both to grow up. Some things never go out of style. Let me tell you something. The old school church continued in the apostles' doctrine, but they experienced the power of God and signs and wonders. What's a sign and a wonder? Well, if you're wondering about it, could be a wonder. Could be. If you're wondering about what was that? First time I saw somebody run down an aisle, I thought, dear God, they're all crazy. I thought, where'd he go? I think the first time I got in a meeting and I had the boldness enough to just run, because sometimes you get in the presence of God, you don't know what to do. You just feel Him. We sang about it. I got it,
right?
I feel it. God gave you emotion for a reason. Emotion is okay. Now, if you get too much in emotion, that's wrong. But man, enjoy God. Enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy lifting your hands. Enjoy dancing before the Lord with all your might. Enjoy the presence of God, because there is great joy in the house. Amen. And I've preached a long time and I didn't mean to. But I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing. Let's stand right now. Amen. And we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna. Yep. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna sing this one, and we're gonna just have a time of singing, and then we're gonna pray for Reverend Christine before she goes on her trip. But we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna experience some joy, old school church joy. Old school church joy and presence.
Stage 02, we have, baby. We love it.
Don't just sit there. Just jump in somewhere. All right? If you don't clap, if you don't stomp your feet, stomp your feet. If you don't lift your hands,
try it.
God bless you.
Got it. Joy in my heart, joy in my heart, joy in the happy day. Joy in my hand, joy in my feet, joy in the good way. God, the broken inside, and give me heavenly fire. Favor and protection are amazing when you're traveling. Get bumped up to a better seat.
Hey, Lord! Yes!
Get a better meeting.
Yes, Lord! Thank you!
Tell us exactly what this trip's going to be like for you.
Woo!
Well, I'm overwhelmed. First of all, come on, honey.
All right. That's old school.
Now, listen down. Yeah. I just want to say that you are so grateful to us for the family church for your generous gifts care for us, and we're thankful and we're overwhelmed at just all of the love and care that you've given us. And my son and my daughter-in-law are going to be blown away with the gifts. They don't know about it yet. We're going to take them just open for them. They're going to be like, wow, what is this? The fact that you cared enough to put it in Taiwan dollars, I was overwhelmed. I just couldn't believe that. And I was like, wow, this is care. But this is how Westchester Family Church is.
They rule, that's right.
I'm so thankful and grateful.
Amen.
It's going to be a whirlwind. It's going to be, you know, I have butterflies, but they're good butterflies. You know, getting through customs and just getting there. I'm traveling alone, but the protection of God is with me.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to going and helping, you know, my son, my daughter-in-law, call my daughter, and little girl that's going to be coming. Crazy day. Healthy, she pops out. Healthy, healthy, healthy is all I'm thinking about. Never been a grandma before, so I don't know, but I imagine it's going to be crazy. I'm going to do me, as always, and just be happy for them. Listen to them. It's been a long time since I've seen my son, so looking forward to it. It's a meeting personality of this young lady that they love each other and just continue to, you know, I'm going to be on ministry mode, of course, and just be there. They have a lot planned for me. You know, they want to take me here, there, everywhere. And that's fine. They asked about dedication. They wanted me to think about helping them do the dedication for the baby. They asked me about that already. And when they take me to the other side of Taiwan, I'm like, okay, whatever it is. I'm very, very picky with my food. So I'm very picky. If it doesn't look right, I won't eat it. So I won't. If it doesn't smell right, I won't eat it. That's crazy. So, but I hear they have a lot of excellent food. As long as I have rice, I'm good. And as long as I have noodles, I'm good. So they have that, so I'm good. So, but praise God. But I just know that Church Becky is going to be praying.
Yeah.
And you know my concern is this man right here. And I know. Somebody take him a lunch, please. No, guys, no, this is okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I'll take him lunch. Rev, hey, let's be you hanging out, baby.
No,
we taking him out to lunch, baby. Watch.
Party
when you gone.
Okay. My other son is here.
Party,
like, son's home.
Though,
I don't even know what his name is. My other son is home, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna be together. He's gonna be all right. But it's been, we've never been away from each other ever this long since we've been married 41 years, and we've never been away this long. The longest we've been away from each other is 1 week, period. So this is interesting. We got it. But thank you. Okay. We go. But thank you, church family. I just appreciate it.
All right. Some of the ladies in the church, Sister Avril, and some of the ladies who feel led to come on up here, we want to just pray for her. And Pastor Joe, I'd like you to help me pray. Amen. Even some of the men, if you want to come, just be a support to some of you young men. You can come up here. Some of the youth group, you can. Youth group better come on up here and be supportive of your youth leaders. Amen. This is a big deal, right? A big deal. So, we want to pray, and we want to pray God's protection, blessing, and safety over Reverend Christine, but we also thank God for this baby being born healthy and whole, and that the mother is healthy and whole, and that Reverend Ennis is provided for in Jesus' name, that the grace of God's on him.
Amen.
Amen. The grace of God. That's God's power, his ability, his passion, doing inside of him what he can't do himself. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just send our sister, Reverend Christine, out from this place with our blessing, with our prayer, with our belief and our faith that she is protected. She is safe in the name of Jesus. Father, she's safe from all sickness and disease. Thank you, Father God. No annoying viruses or sicknesses. I thank you, Father God, she's got favor where she goes, wherever she goes. Lord, that there are possibilities and there are things where she'll be bumped up, given better situation, better room, better food, better seats. Thank you, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for this this beautiful young family, Lord, that that is starting with this beautiful young girl that will be born healthy and whole. We thank you, Father God, for your protection, safety on them. And we thank you, Father God, as grandparents, the impartations that they will have on this grandchild will be phenomenal, even though it will be at a distance, at this juncture, at this stage in their life. I thank you, Lord God, that the impartations and the anointing of God being spiritual leaders, Father, would just be so impacting on this little one and on this family in the name of Jesus. Lord, that they are blessed in their coming and their going. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you, Father God, for a great anointing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit's presence, hallelujah, is not only within Reverend Christine, but we thank you that there is a great, great, great anointing. That which you have known before as an anointing from me is going to increase during this season. It's going to increase during this time. And so it will come upon you now, and it will increase as every day goes. As the sun sets and as the sun rises, the increase will not be dead and it will not go away. It will only increase as every day passes. There will be a greater anointing. A greater anointing, not only for the ministry, but also for the family. Also for the family. I thank you that the whole Russian may say, like, it's a dulce premate, que preto no mosero, braquete no mochete, si mono pompe de yate, me lo dulce me nese, le groba e nere basula se, e rote que se, le bumonda e se, le grisha mendoza braquene, signs, wonders, miracles, power, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, for they will not be words from you, they will be words from me, and you will be only led and only guided by me, for you will not hear your voice, you will only hear mine. There will be no other voice but mine. It will be more clear and more pronounced than you've ever known before. There will not be your thoughts. They will be my thoughts. They will not be your ways. They will be my ways. They will not be your dreams. They are my dreams coming up through you in the name of Jesus. And you will see it unfolding on this trip. You will see it unfolding as you awaken, as you sleep, as you move, as you breathe, as you sing. As you hold your grandchild, you will see it unfolding. Everything you do, everything you touch, everything you hold, everything you say will be blessed. This is your time to be blessed. This is your time to see that which you have prayed, that which you have held in your heart, that which you have labored, that which you have cried, that which you have placed on the inside, placed on the inside of you. This is the time you will see it coming up. It will come up. It will come up. It will come up, and it's coming out, and it's manifested where others see. But that's irrelevant for you, because you have my heart, and I know it. And the anointing is upon you. And in the name of Jesus, we come around you as a couple and we say, great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace, hallelujah. No worries, no concerns, no thoughts, no what ifs, no how come, no why not, no, none of that. There is great grace. There is great grace. There is great peace of mind. There is a unity. Although separated in the natural, there is a unity that is deeper than even the two of you have ever known before. And it will just be proven over this time. It will be proven over this time. And this is going to be not just for the two of you. This is for the family as well. This is for the grandbaby as well. And this is for many people around who are coming into your path, those that have been in your path and they're coming back, the people you ministered to and they're coming back into your lives, the people you've spoken to about me before and they're coming back, the relatives that you've reached out to and they don't listen to you are coming back, the people at work that you've spoken to and they haven't listened are coming back into your paths, and you're ready, and they are ready, and you have my anointing, and you will accomplish more than what you think it is that I told you to do. It will be more. It will be greater. It will be full of my peace and my love. For you hear my voice and you follow no one other. You do hear my voice. Everything you hear will be me. everything you hear will be me. Everything you hear. Everything you hear on this trip. Everything you hear. Everything you hear. Everything you hear. Everything you hear. Spirit, soul, and body. Everything you hear will be me. It will. It is. I am. And we thank you, Father God, for your blessing. We thank you that you watch over their going and their coming. We thank you that the angels of God are encamped around them and around their family. We thank you that there's absolutely no harm that can befall them, no disaster that can come near their tent. And Satan, just in case you haven't noticed, in the name of Jesus, we come against you. And we say that we have been given all authority by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so we apply that authority given to us as believers. And we say you have no weapon that is formed that could prosper. Can't come near, won't come near, will not harass, will not hassle. And we say to you in the name of Jesus, Satan, leave. Go in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you that your presence is here, that your power is here, that your anointing is here, that your protection is here.
Yes.
And we just rest in the fact that you have filled this couple up to overflowing. For this is a time for them to experience the next season, whatever that means to them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
I'm sorry. Sister Brenda, please come. I would be remiss. Please, I would be remiss. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you. She has been my travel agent with my son. She took care of him, and she took care of me. I'm really grateful.
Yeah.
I didn't have to think about anything back and forth, corresponding. Every single thing I needed for this trip in terms of travel, to surrender to
Him.
Yes. So, thank you. From the bottom of my heart. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Yes. Glory to God. You may be seated real quick. We are going to make a transition here. We're going to have our closing verse. So go back to your seat. Let's say that out loud. Amen.
All right.
Yes, yes. If somebody needs to know the Lord, I think we're all saved in here. But if you need to know the Lord, simple. You believe in your heart. You confess Him with your mouth. Romans 10, 9, and 10 gives an instruction for you to come to know Christ. You believe in your heart, you confess Him with your mouth, receive His forgiveness, you'll be saved. Please message us. We'd like to pray with you. We'd like to help you, send you some things in your walk with God. Amen. All right, let's put our sending out verse right now. Let's just say this together, old school church. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. From this time forth, and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7. God bless you. You are dismissed. Just give us a couple minutes.